Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. Well, ours is an age of growing fear. Billy Graham, appearing in Washington recently at a presidential breakfast, called attention to the need of divine guidance in view of awesome, fearful days which lie ahead. As the sword of Damocles hung by a single hair above his head, with the thread growing ever more taut, so we today are faced with the fate of imminent danger, asserted Graham. Well, as a matter of fact, the horrible potentialities of an atomic or hydrogen war are the basis for continuing negotiations to end nuclear bomb testings. However, even if the A-bomb and H-bomb were outlawed, scientists tell us there are secret weapons which are just as deadly. There are poisonous gases and germs, which unleashed could destroy humanity, while leaving homes and factories intact, ready for occupancy by the enemy. Such an invasion, it is also pointed out, could occur undetected and unnoticed. For instance, Dr. Theodore Rosenberry, former chief of the U.S. Biological Warfare Division, points out the potency of pure botulinus toxin. Just 1 ounce properly diluted could kill 200 million humans. Referring to nerve gas, which is odorless, colorless, and tasteless, Val Peterson, one-time Federal Civil Defense Administrator, testified, "Nerve gas, used by an enemy with maximum efficiency, could be deadlier than an atomic bomb." W.A. Higginbotham, presiding as chairman of the Federation of Atomic Scientists, says, quote, "Biological warfare differs in two ways from atomic warfare. Through germ war, aerial attackers or saboteurs could silently set forces to work which kill men, women, and infants in their homes. After a certain period of time, the conquerors could then enter the depopulated areas and find the factories, buildings, and all the resources of the country ready for their use." Dr. Bach-Kisholm, Canadian General Director with the World Health Organization, once declared, "Bacteriological weapons could kill all living things within 6 hours and leave the area safe for troops to occupy within the 12 hours which it takes to oxidize and disappear." One of our leading congressmen emphasizes that a sneak attack upon us could kill 30 million of our people. And military and scientific authorities agree that in the event of war, the target will not be a far-distant outpost like Pearl Harbor. The target will be the United States. Other possibilities of destruction are the death ray and sound waves of high-frequency vibration. And one official says it is theoretically possible to kick a small planet out of orbit and send it crashing down upon a predetermined spot on Earth. Well, we do not like to hear predictions of possible destruction, do we? Nevertheless, we must face up with reality. For we are living in a day when, without warning, death-dealing devices could rain destruction down upon our cities. But now our purpose in today's broadcast is not alone to point out the dangers that are ahead and to warn of the necessity of turning to Christ for salvation, but also to show how the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ need not fear the future, need not fear what lies ahead. By saying this, we do not mean that we shall escape all coming trials and tribulations, but to show the loving care of a merciful God who is interested in looking out for His own. It is in view of the age in which we live, we're reminded of the words of Jesus who urged, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Did you hear it? We're all going to die someday, sometime, unless the Lord comes for us. And we're not to fear bullets or bombs or bayonets, but to fear the Almighty who has power over the soul in determining its eternal destiny. Well, Dr. Elton Trueblood points out that while a nuclear war and the destruction of the human race are the world's big pervasive dread, that this is not the worst thing that can happen to us. He maintains us. Do we? That somehow we've gotten our senses of values twisted, so that we suppose annihilation is the main evil to be avoided, and survival the main goal to be achieved. Rather, what many forget is that the Bible says after death is the judgment. And so, as Dr. Trueblood asserts, it is not whether we live, but how we live that is of most importance. But what about this thing called fear? Being reminded of this time that's coming and may be here already, when men's hearts shall fail them for fear, we might ask, should a Christian fear the future? Franklin D. Roosevelt once made this statement, "The only thing to fear is fear itself." There are, of course, legitimate fears. There is the fear of the Lord, which every person should have. Although our God is a God of love to those who trust and serve Him, it is to be remembered that the Scriptures tell us it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Once we come to Christ, truly repenting of our sins, the fears should leave us and peace should come instead. For being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There are normal fears, however, that keep us from doing hazardous or foolish things. For example, it is only normal to handle an electric fixture with care. We just don't touch any bare wire for fear it might be charged with thousands of volts of electricity. However, there are abnormal fears which haunt some day and night. Fear of becoming ill. Fear of losing one's job. Fear of the future. Well, now this is a dangerous kind of fear that cannot be cured by medicine, nor removed by the surgeon's knife. Oh, that today you would find release from this fear and begin trusting the Lord to watch over you. If He watches over the birds and the flowers, will He not watch over you? Actually, when you come to Christ, it is with the assurance that henceforth He will look out for you. You are not your own, the Bible says. You are bought with a price, and He promises to supply all of your needs if you'll simply trust Him. The psalmist declares, "Fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions lack, and they suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Did you hear it? Ah, beloved, you needn't fear if you're held in His loving arms, except to fear the Lord, to trust Him. Well, perhaps you say, how can I be delivered from my fears? And we would reply, first of all, realize that God loves you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That is, except you foolishly withdraw from His presence. And remember, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. God is not the author of fear, but of love. Secondly, have a perfect love for God, for we read, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Are you in love with Jesus? If there is unconfessed and unforgiven sin in your heart, naturally your love for Jesus will not be perfect. You'd better repent of that thing if you want peace and that perfect love that casteth out fear. Then thirdly, rely upon the unfailing promises of God. So of what are you afraid? Are you afraid of death? The psalmist declares, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." Afraid of the dark? Afraid to be left alone at night? In Proverbs 3:24 we read, "When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet." Oh, think for a moment of Peter in jail, chained to two guards, facing imminent death. And we read, he fell asleep. He didn't even take time to worry, for he knew God would take care of him, and He did. Afraid of intruders, someone breaking into your home? The psalmist would say, "In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me." Well, daily David's life was in danger from King Saul and his enemies, and David could have been a nervous wreck, but he knew the Lord would look out for him. afraid of cancer or some other loathsome disease. Well, it's strange how fear lowers the body resistance to the very thing you're afraid of. As Job declared, "The thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." Well, there are many who suppose every little ache or pain is a contagious disease, and they become fearful and begin to panic. Instead of relaxing and trusting the Lord, there are many who resort to what I call panic praying, who, like the Pharisees, think they'll be heard for their much praying. Or rather, it's praying in faith that brings deliverance. If in the grip of some contagious disease, begin to rejoice in the words of the psalmist who reminds us, "The Lord healeth all thy diseases," and who reminds us, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Hallelujah. Ah, beloved, again and again we read in Scripture where the Lord says to his own, "Be not afraid." And in a day of calamities and impending judgment, we would say with the psalmist, "Therefore will not we fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled." Yes, there is deliverance from fear. And from now on, why not make this your motto? Repeat it until it becomes a very part of you. "I will trust and not be afraid." Amen.
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.